Morning, brothers and sisters. It's been some time since I'm here to share with you. It's been a long trip for us over the last few months, and I'm so happy that I'm finally at home again. I'm glad to be able to be with you again this morning. Let's turn to the Bible in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll read a few verses from 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then let's turn back a few pages to the previous book, the book of the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And finally, we turn to the next chapter, chapter 4, and it's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. You know, sometimes I wonder whether we're worshipping, why are we worshipping here on Sundays? Why are we worshipping God? And some of you may very quickly answer me and say, of course we worship Him because He is God, He is our Savior. And that is very true and very correct. We ought to thank Him, we want to come before Him and worship God. There's no question about that. You're quite right. We worship Him because He is our God. And being grateful for what He has done to us, for us, we want to return our thanks and give thanks to Him. And therefore we come here worshiping Him. And that is the reason for gathering together here so very often. Not only on Sundays, but even during the week. You know, in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are many, many examples of God's people, God's children, worshipping Him. Right from the very beginning, even in Genesis, Abraham worshipped God by building an altar and offering sacrifices. And then again later on we saw that in many places where he went, he built other altars and offered sacrifices in order that he may worship God. Then we find Noah, even before Abraham, after the flood, when he first got out from the ark, he built an altar and worshipped God. Then we find Moses as well. We find Joshua, we find David, all building altars to worship God. And at other times, they offer God, especially in the case of David and Solomon, David arranged for people, especially to sing praises to God, and other people to play music to worship God. So we'll find all over the Old Testament, people had already that practice and habit to worship God, because they knew that God is an awesome God, and it is their God. It is the God who have led them all through the ages. And their reaction, they went back and worshiped God whenever they can. And coming to the New Testament, again, we saw Paul exhorting God's children to worship Him. In the several portions of scriptures which we read just now, Paul encouraged his children, God's children, to worship God through thanksgiving. In Thessalonians, he said, give thanks for everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will for us is to come before Him, to worship Him. And in the other portion we read, it says, pray without ceasing. And the Lord Jesus Himself, when He was on earth, we saw that He frequently worshipped the Father by praying to Him and praising Him and committing Himself to Him. And again, in Colossians we read that we should worship Him because we should let the peace of God be with us and be thankful for what God has done to us. And so throughout the Bible, we see God actually wanting His children to come back and worship Him through songs, through thanksgiving, through praises, through prayers. And I think all these brings out a central theme. And that theme is that somehow we see that thanksgiving, worship, and praise are related to this matter of prayer. When you have worship, when you give thanks, somehow we are involved in this matter of praying. And we can easily understand that when we worship, we give thanks. We sing songs and give praises. But somehow we don't see that very clear relationship between prayer and worship. But here in those verses which we've just read this morning, we see that, in fact, thanksgiving, praise, worship, and prayer are all linked together. Prayer is a part of worship. Prayer is a part of thanksgiving. Prayer is a part of praising God. And this is what the Bible teaches. And for that matter, we see that prayer is really an important part of our action, of our way of expressing our gratitude to God and praising Him. Of course, there's no doubt that we should always be thankful for God, for His mercy, for His grace, because it is what He has planned for us, what His Son has done for us, that we are here today, that we have been saved, that we have a new life in Him. But equally important, I think we should think that not only has He saved us from eternal condemnation, it is He who continues to guide us throughout our life. It is He who protects us, and it is He who keeps us from falling back, from falling into the previous condition again. So throughout our life, we see God is still working in us, continuing to mold us into a life which pleases Him. And that is more the reason why we should thank Him. And one of the methods that we can do so is to praise Him and to thank Him. The psalmist has said, "The Lord has done good. He has done great things for us, and we are glad." Are we glad? Are we happy that God has done all these things for us? If so, do we have a thankful heart before Him? Do we ever realize that thanksgiving is a very natural result of gratitude, expression of gratitude? And there you see the link between prayer and worship becomes evident. We know that we should worship God, and we know that one of the important means of worshiping God, of praising Him, is through our prayers. And this is taught all over the Bible. You see, people of God, children of God, throughout the Bible, using prayer to express their thanksgiving before God. It is one of the most evident way of expressing our love and gratitude to God. Now, this morning I would like to share with you a few things about praying and about prayers. And because it may be something that we have talked about before, but it is something which we need to remind us every now and then, how important this matter of prayer in our life is. But before that, there are a few things that we particularly want to emphasize and stress, and this I would like to share with you this morning. The first thing to share about this is that God will listen only to the praying of a believer. That is something very basic. God listens to the prayer of believers, but God will only listen to the prayers of a believer because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us to pray. Remember the Lord telling us one of the job of the Holy Spirit is to teach us how to pray. And the disciples also asked the Lord, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And the Lord taught them how to pray, and that is what we now know very in a familiar way called it in a familiar name, the Lord's Prayer. It was the result of the disciples asking the Lord to teach them to pray. And it is, we must realize, therefore, that praying is a privilege of God's children. A person who is not saved does not know how to pray. He may pray, but he doesn't know who to pray to. And he doesn't know what to pray because he does not know God. He is not saved. He has not the Holy Spirit in him. And so our prayer, if it is not led by the Holy Spirit, will not be effective praying. That's something we need to know. We can say a lot of things before God, but unless the Holy Spirit leads us in praying, that is not really effective prayer. You know, a little boy may ask his parents for many things. Why? Why could we ask our parents for many things? Because we are alive. Because we have a life. If we are dead, if a person is lying in a coffin, he cannot ask for anything because he's dead. We can ask God, we can come to God, we can pray to God, we can worship God because we have His life. And because of that life, when we come to Him, He will listen to our prayer, and our prayer will be effective because of that life. And that's something very basic that we need to realize. You remember when Paul met the Lord the first time, on the road to Damascus. There was a great light that shone on him, and he became blind. He lost his sight for 3 days. And people had to led him by his hand into the city of Damascus. But God was working in him. You know what? God has told a person called Ananias to go to see him. And when God told Ananias to go to see Paul, God told Ananias and said, "You go to see this man Paul, for he is praying." Now, there's a lot of discussion whether when Paul was actually converted. But I'm sure that after the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, the life of Paul changed completely. Before he was persecuting God's people, but now he knew that there was something awfully wrong with that. He didn't really know how and why and what, but he knew that this true God has spoken to him and his life was changed. But he was blind, he couldn't say, but he went back. The first thing he did was he prayed. So we know that a person would only have effective prayer because he has been saved. And when we are saved, we can pray effectively to God because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so the very first thing we need to know is that God will only listen to his children. God will only listen to a truly born believer. He will not listen to someone who is not yet saved. And that's the first thing I think we ought to know. The second thing we ought to know is that saying prayer, sometimes This might be a very fine line, but it is true. Saying prayers and praying are different. Have you ever thought of that? You know, in many churches and in religions that pray to their God, they pray too. Some religions have prayer books and they read them out. And they are saying prayers. Even in some Christian gathering, they have prayer books. And everything goes according to order. When you are sick, well, there's a page, a section say there, this is what you pray when you are sick. And you read them out. Everybody closing their eyes, the pastor or the minister, read them out. And that is saying prayers. But that's very different from what the Bible teaches us about praying. So let us not get into that mistake. We do not say prayers, but we truly pray before God. And praying before God is really communicating and having fellowship with God. There's no set way or set phrases that we use, because our prayers should be led by the Holy Spirit. It is the teaching within us that we can freely talk and face God and speak out our hearts to him. So be careful that saying and realize the difference that saying prayers and praying are quite different matters. You see, in the Bible, in the Lord himself warned us, don't pray like the Pharisees. Why? Because they pray in a set pattern. They pray out in the corner of the streets, let's say, aloud so that everybody can hear. And that's saying prayers. But the Lord said, don't pray like them. We must not pray like the Pharisees, because they have set a pattern. And on what occasion, on such and such occasion, they will say these things. And that is their prayers. That is saying prayers, but that's not what God's idea of praying to him. The Lord says that these Pharisees use vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think they will they will be heard for their many words. That is not the way God wants us to pray. You know, think about a little toddler, or even a newborn baby, he cannot speak, he do not know how to convey his request to his parents, but he just utter a cry, and the mother will immediately come to him and look at him and try to find out what he wants. That is how God regards our sincere prayer before him. We don't have to use eloquent speech, words, beautiful words and so on. All we need is to pour our hearts to God, and God will listen. It may be very awkward and clumsy words, phrases, it doesn't make sense to other people maybe, but God will understand. And we need to realize that and practice that, that it is the Holy Spirit leading us, and we just pour our hearts to God. It doesn't concern us who is next to us, who is around us. I'm not praying like a Pharisee so that somebody next to me can say, oh, he prays well, he uses beautiful words, long, nice sentences. No, that is not the purpose. We just pour our hearts to God, like a little baby crying out to the mother. And God will understand and God will hear. And so true prayer does not depend on eloquent speech. I think that is important. You may say, oh, we know that. But very often, do we not have the experience that, oh, I don't know how to say nice prayers, therefore I sort of sit back and not pray in a prayer meeting or in other occasions where public prayers are offered. I think, oh, because so-and-so is there, you know, his prayer is so nice to listen to, and I'm nothing like him, therefore I keep my mouth shut. That is an entirely wrong attitude. The Lord looks at the heart. He does not look at outside appearances. So next time we pray, let us remember this. We are not praying for the year. Hong Kong is not a very, I wouldn't say it's not common, but you don't often hear people doing that. I remember several years ago, the first time, for a long time, I went back to Hong Kong, first time. I was following somebody going out of a swing door in a mall. And was very close behind the person before me. And I thought that, you know, I was only about two steps following him. And I thought that he pushed open the door, and I thought he would at least hold it for me to let me go. But he just pushed, and then he just walked away. And I nearly banged myself against the door. So next time, well, I didn't blame him. I mean, a lot... Next time when I was the first one to, I knew someone was following me, I opened and held the door for this guy to go through. And he just walked past without saying anything, just completely ignoring me. That is the kind of person we are. I'm not saying I'm better than the others, but you know how the heart of man is. It is like that. We are very lacking in thanksgiving. But when God answers our prayers, I think as a believer, as a God's children, we should very naturally have a heart of thanksgiving to Him. And we know that God answers our prayers. Paul says in Philippians, instead of use the word request, let your request be known to God. In other words, let your prayers be what you need. Tell God as you pray to Him. So Paul used the word request for prayers. Let your request be made known to God. In other words, let your prayers be made known to Him. And God's promise is that He will answer them. And when He answers them, Paul says, it will bring peace to your heart. Of course, God does not answer our prayers every day. He does not answer our every prayer in the way that we want to. I would like something, and I pray to God. God may not answer it in the way I want to. You know, in our green hymn book, there's a hymn called An Answer Yet, and I like that hymn very much. I often sing it, especially in prayer meetings. And it says in the stanzas there, is it an answer yet? No, do not say unanswered. Perhaps your part is not yet wholly done. Perhaps your part is not wholly done. And so what do we need when we pray? We need a true faith in God. We need to believe that God, our God, is the God who answers prayers. So when we pray, we need a faith in our prayers. Sometimes we pray, and even as we pray, we feel that God is not going to answer us. but many illustrations of the Bible, so remote, so impossible, God's children prayed to God, and God listened to them. You read the history of the kings in the books of Kings and Chronicles, you see how many times God answered impossible situations to relieve God's children, in answer, in response to God's children's prayers. And in the New Testament too, we see that. So many cases, so many situations where you don't think it's possible, but the impossible happens. Peter was locked in jail. Chances of him being free, so remote, but the Lord at night when Peter was saying praises, was praying to God, somehow he was free. Impossible. Even the jailer was so surprised, he was so afraid of it, that he couldn't believe his eyes. But the impossible can happen, because God always listens to our prayers. And what we need really is our faith in God. If we pray to a people of all kinds of religious inclinations, pray to their so-called God, they pray to idols, they pray to, in Hong Kong you have people praying to trees, praying to stones, but these will not listen. There's no point of having faith in these things, but we have a living God, a God who is alive, who is living, who knows our needs, who is prepared to listen to us and guide us and act in our interests. So we know that when we offer our prayers to Him in earnest and in sincerity, God will listen to us. But sometimes, you know, God answers our prayers in a different way. He may not answer our prayers in the way we want to. Sometimes God will answer our prayers in a more progressive way. He will answer our prayers step by step. Why? Because He wants to teach us to learn. trains us to trust in Him. He will answer our prayers sometime, somewhere, somehow. But we don't. He will not let us know all at once. And there's one fourth one thing that we need to know about prayer, and that is we need to have a perfect obedience to the will of the Father. The Lord taught the disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We need to have this, to learn this obedience to the Father's will. And that is one of the great secrets of prayer. Sometimes we don't seek the will of the Father. We don't really know the will of the Father, and therefore we don't have that perfect obedience to the Father's will. See, the order, you must see the order of things. When you love someone, it produces obedience. Love will produce obedience. If you don't love God, you will not obey God. But if you love Him, you will obey Him. So love will produce obedience. And prayers will follow obedience. When you have love, you will obey. And when you obey, you will be able to pray to Him with confidence. Because you know, whatever happens, in whatever way God answers my prayer, it will be in compliance with the Father's will. And that is His will for us, and we need to obey. We need to realize that that unquestioning obedience counts a lot in the sight of God. If we do not have a mind of obedience before God, it does not please God. But on the other hand, if we have this will of completely obeying the Father's will, it will certainly, I think, speed up our prayers to God. If we wish God to listen to our prayers, we need to lead obedient lives. So firstly, in our prayer life, we need to learn this basic thing, that we need to lead a life which is pleasing to Him. I think it is in our experience as a child too. Right? When we obey our parents, when we listen to what our parents tell us to do, and we go and ask our parents to do us a favor or give us something, it's much easier, isn't it? I know this trick when I was very young. When I was going to ask my father something, I know that if I, you know, this 2 or 3 days before I'm going to ask him, let's say if I'm going to ask him on Saturday when I see him, from Thursday onwards I'll behave myself very well. And then on Saturday when I ask him, I know it will be easier for him to answer me. Well, that is the kind of reasoning behind us. Well, of course, God does not look at it that way. But from our point of view, if we are obedient to God, we are prepared to be obedient to the will of God, then we know it speeds up God's answer to our prayers. And there's an example in the Old Testament when soon after Moses led the Israelites across the Red Sea, at the beginning of their travel, very soon they met the Amalekites. And Moses sent Joshua to go and battle with the Amalekites. And he said to Joshua, he said, "You go down and fight with these people. I will go up the mountain and I will pray. I will hold up my hands and I will pray." And he took Hur with her and Aaron with him. And when Moses was fighting downstairs, and Joshua was fighting downstairs, Moses was up the hill praying, because he knew that by praying, God's will, it will speak in an obedient way, God will help them in winning that battle with the Amalekites. And so we have been reminding brothers and sisters very often, we need to form a habit of setting our minds on how God, what God is. And the trouble with many of us is that very often we do not want to surrender to the will of God. Even before we say our prayers, we have already set our mind on how that prayer should be answered. We want to pray to God something, and before praying that, we have already decided God should answer our prayer in such a way. We are not prepared to have God's way. We are only prepared for God to answer our prayer our way. And that is not perfect obedience to the Father's will. We offer our prayers to God, and we say to God, "Thy will be done." I think it's very helpful to us, you know, that when sometimes we hear saints making some promises, and they will say before they make the statement, say, "God willing, we will do this and that." James said the same thing. God willing, we can trade tomorrow, we can do this and do that tomorrow. It is God willing. We need to be obedient to God's will. Whatever it is only God willing. God willing, we'll meet here again next Sunday. God willing, we will be able to do this and do that. And when we pray, we need to have that kind of spirit in us. Yes, we pray, we open our hearts to God, we tell God what we want to have, what we wish to have, but we always have to remind ourselves, it is only if God is willing. And we say to God, "God willing, this is what we want to do." But if God is not willing, we obey. We have this perfect will of surrendering our will to God. And so if we wish to have an earnest desire to pray and pray well, then we must first learn how to have an unfailing desire to obey Him. If we do not have this desire to obey Him, then our prayers will not be effective prayer. We must take away every obstacle in obedience. So let us really, as we learn how to live a life of prayer, to lay aside all obstacles and all weights that beset us, that ensnares us, that prevents us from coming to God in a true and obedient way. Of course, there are other important things about prayer that will take us a long time, many sessions to complete. But these four very basic things, I think, is what we need to think about. We need to know from a very basic thing that because we are His children, God will listen to our prayers. We need to distinguish what praying is and what true praying is, and what just saying prayers are. We need to have faith in our prayers, to truly believe that God will answer it, though we do not know how He is going to answer it and why He is answering it. And we need to have an attitude of complete obedience to the Lord's prayer, to the Lord's will. The Lord has led me to share with you about praying this morning, because I have a great burden for the way brothers and sisters treat this subject of praying in their lives, both in their private lives and their corporate life. You see, every week after this meeting, we have the Lord's table. the meeting of the Lord's table is one of the best opportunities for us to offer thanks through hymns, through prayers to God, because of what He has done for us. It is a meeting where the saints meet together without someone leading. It is a meeting which is open to everybody, to every saint, to every believer, to express his thanks before God, to offer his worship, to offer his praise before God. The Lord's table is in fact a meeting of worship. Because when we see the cup and the bread and the cup before us, it reminds us of what he has done for us. And because of that, it gave rise in us a heart of thanks, full of thanksgiving, to think about what God has done for us. As saved sinners, we know how much he has loved us and to what extent he has sacrificed himself for our salvation. So it is the most appropriate place where a believer can offer his thanksgiving through singing and through praying. Everybody is given an opportunity to open up and to express that thanks to him. And yet when I come to think that week after week, again and again, week after week, we have almost 200 people sitting here and we see the same few saints praying to God, giving thanks to God. The vast majority of them just sitting there, remaining silent. What are they thinking in their heart? Do they have a heart full of thanks that cannot sort of contain themselves and want to burst open and give thanks to God? I shared this with somebody once, and he answered me, probably very sincerely. He said, "Well, yeah, I'm sitting there, I'm not saying anything, but I'm listening to what the other person is praying, and in my heart I'm saying amen all the time." Yes, of course, I truly believe that. If you're not even doing that, then you might as well go home and not be at the Lord's table. But the Lord is not entirely satisfied if you just sit there quietly and say amen when somebody else is offering praise. God wants your own thanksgiving. God wants your own praise. And it will really please him if you just open up. And even if you say just a few words, say, "Lord, I thank you for what you have done for me. I praise you. Amen." It will please God tremendously, even if you say that. Otherwise, I think God is not completely satisfied if we just present ourselves at the table and listen to other people singing and praising the Lord. So let us all together learn this very precious lesson. We know it is good for us, and we know it is pleasing and satisfying to the Lord. And it is really time. We know that the Lord is coming very soon. We do not know how long and when, but as long as there is time, as long as there is the opportunity that we can do that, we ought to learn to do that, because that is the real part, a real part, an important part of Christian life, to give thanks to him. And the Lord's table is really a very good place to do that and to learn to do that. Even in our Friday night meetings, you know, every time after Singspiration sing and the brother said, "Let's have a time of prayer together," we sit there quietly, everybody, and then wait for a long time. One or two brothers or sisters will pray and give thanks and worship to the Lord. What are all the others doing? Over the years, I see that fewer and fewer brothers and sisters participate in that. And there are a lot of younger Christians growing up, and they need to learn that too. Don't look at the, I won't say older, all right, the more mature brothers and sisters, and think that, "Well, they're not praying, I'm not praying too. I'm I won't say younger, right? I'm the less mature one, so I sit here and listen to them. No, it is everyone's opportunity there again to offer praises, offer worship, offer their prayers to God. And I can say to you, it is certainly well-pleasing to him. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be with you. Will guard your hearts and minds. This is what God promises us as long as we offer our thanksgiving to him. Make known our request to him. And this is certainly what we need to learn. So let us therefore start learning, all right? Not only the facts of praying, but the practice of exercising the praying. I hope that what I've shared will not fall on deaf ears. And let's be more practical and practice what we have heard. Open up our mouths and praise him and worship him. Let us not harden our hearts like the Israelites in the wilderness. God said that they are stiff-necked, their hearts are hardened. Let us not quench the Holy Spirit. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Let us not fall into the snare and the temptation of the enemy and say, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm remaining silent, I'm saying amen in our hearts to the others who pray. Because this kind of exercise, learning how to pray openly and give thanks openly, publicly, will certainly be pleasing to the Lord. And it will certainly lead to a greater spiritual growth and maturity in your Christian life. In the letter to the Hebrews, in chapter 4, I think, there's a very familiar verse about growing up spiritually and the need to really practice what we have learned. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, and chapter 5 and verse 13 there. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is only a babe. If you take milk, you're always a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, to those who, by reason of use, notice these four words, by reason of use. It's only by reason of use that they can have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It is only by reason of our practicing what we have heard. It is only by practicing what we have learned that we can discern the will of God, that we can discern what is pleasing to him, that we can grow, that we can mature. If we listen to people, to messages, to sharing everything, and we do not practice it, and we do not use it, we will stay like a baby. All our Christian lives, we are Christian babies. We never grow up. But it is only, the author of the book of Hebrews says, by reason of use that we will grow and that we will discern. So let us go one step forward and really exercise and practice what we have heard all these years. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you because you are a living Savior and we believe and trust in a living God. We know you want to fellowship with us. We know you want us to thank you for all the things that you have done for us, for all these good things that you have given us in this life and in the life to come, and the promises that you have made to us. And we want to really take every opportunity to offer you back our praise, our worship, our thanksgiving to you. Lord, pray that you will lead us to grow from a baby into a grown up, so that we will be able to know you more, to be more close to you, and to know more of your will. So Lord, we just commit this morning's words into your hands. We pray and ask in your most precious name. Amen.